So which do you prefer, earthquakes or hurricanes? Neither one, right? Well, in either case, whichever you prefer, you're going to want to prepare, right? So I was prepared. When we lived in California, I made sure I was prepared. And I had an earthquake preparedness little bag. And I had this thing ready so that if there was an earthquake, I had everything I needed to survive. Not to live well, but to survive. And so I had this all hooked up. And as I thought about these 10 virgins, I'm thinking about the preparation that some made and that some didn't. But I was prepared. I had my stuff. I have here an emergency blanket, some roll of gauze and some towelettes and some tarp thing. I had food, solid food for 3 days. It was 3 days of food because it would take you 3 days to eat it. They have instructions here, more medical stuff here, all kinds of things. And what else do you need for 3 days to survive?
Water.
Got to have water. So I have my little water packets. You know, I often wonder about these packets, you know, drinking water, emergency drinking water. Do you really want to drink water that's been sitting around that long, you know? I'm not real sure. But I pulled this out the other day. Uh-oh. I figured I'd be prepared for our talk today. And there's not a lot of water in there anymore. And I'm thinking, how prepared am I really with this like this? And then I got to looking at the food. Expiration date. January. So I'm not too far past, right? 95. Yes, indeed. It's good to be prepared, isn't it? It's better if you're really prepared. I have batteries for my flashlight, too, that I stuck in there probably in 1995. How well do you think those babies will work?
No good.
No good? Come on, now they... These are copper bottoms. Yeah, they're all... Well, it's more like rust, but... Yeah. Probably not, huh? Ooh, the tops are black now. They've switched places. The tops are black. And the bottoms are copper. Should work just fine, right? Preparation. How well is this flashlight going to work with those old batteries? Zero, huh? So do you suppose as the evening of the first day of the hurricane, my power pink gets knocked out, and I go run it, I'm cool, I'm prepared, I got my bag, I got my flashlight, I got my batteries, I'm good, right? And I put the batteries in, and I flick it on, nothing happens. How likely is Tom, my next door neighbor, to give me his batteries when I go and knock on his door? Not going to happen for me, is it? Because Tom's thinking to himself, I packed batteries because I'm going to need batteries. I didn't pack batteries for anybody else, he wouldn't even know. Maybe all he has is AA. Is that going to work in here? How about them big square jobbies? Not going to happen for me, are they? You see, he can't prepare for me, can he? A lot of stuff going on there, huh? I want you to turn with me again to Matthew chapter 25, please. Let's think about this preparation. This preparation, the things that are happening there. What's going on with these 10 virgins as they are waiting? Are we waiting for anything, by the way? Yeah, what are we waiting for, Adventists? Second coming, huh? Yeah, absolutely. Take a look with me, Matthew chapter 25. And I want you to look at verse 6. Verses 6 and 7. And when? At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. This message, was that to people who had nothing to do with the wedding? No. It was to the part of the wedding party, right? The ladies who were supposed to go with the wedding party. This is a message. The midnight cry is a message to the church. A message to the church. This is not a message to the world. It's a message to the church. The message will get out to the world, won't it? But the midnight cry itself is a message to the church. And it's a message to shine. You see, because it says, at midnight the cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Why? Because they were gathering up their lamps. Thank you. They were gathering up their lamps. They were going out to brighten the way. No street lamps, right? They were going out to brighten the way to the home of the bridegroom, right? They were going out there to do that work, to light the way, to show the way for others how to get to the bridegroom's home. And so this was a message to go out and shine. And that's what they did. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and put out their lamps. Trimmed. They trimmed their lamps. I'm glad you guys are keeping me straight. They trimmed their lamps, didn't they? They wanted it to shine brightly. They were commanded in the midnight cry to go out and shine for Jesus. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, just for a moment. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. I think it's a familiar verse. You probably know it. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." You see, we can't shine any more than this flashlight can shine without having some power source, right? The lamp did not shine of itself without the oil, right? So it needed the power source. We also are incapable of living a Christ-like life. We are incapable of shining for Jesus without His Holy Spirit, aren't we? We cannot shine of ourselves. That's why He says, "Arise and shine." Why? Because the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Until the glory of the Lord is risen upon us, nothing happens. Nothing's there. It doesn't come out. Without those batteries, not much good. Not much good. We have to be having fresh batteries. Fresh batteries in here. And then everything has to be connected. You know, I had another flashlight in my little pack. It was cool because it was orange, you know. I like orange stuff, you know? When I'm trying to be in an emergency mode, orange is cool, right? So I had an orange flashlight. There was only one problem. When I'd slide the little slidey thing, that one had a little slidey thing. When I'd slide the little button there, didn't work. Or at least not always. And sometimes it would just sort of flicker, you know, and then kind of half be dim. And you'd, right? You know, you've done that, right? And it, you know, you then you look at it, and as soon as you look at it, then it comes on real bright, you know. Why do we look at it anyway? Is that going to help it come on? I don't know. But you got to be connected. You got to have the fresh batteries. And when you get it all together, then it works, right? It works when it's all there. When you have the power in the flashlight and it's all connected, it works. It works like it's supposed to. I'm really glad it worked too. Can you imagine how bad that illustration would have been if it hadn't come on when I clicked that button? That'd have been real ugly, huh? How do we stay connected? Remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The Holy Spirit is within us, right? John chapter 14, do you remember? John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and beginning with verse, where is it? 16. John 14, beginning with verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you, remember, another helper, that He may abide with you how long? Forever, right? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. Why do we know Him? For He dwells with you and will be in you. And then Jesus says, that's me. That's my presence. That's me being with you. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is going to be there. Jesus is the connection. He's how we stay connected to God. He will be in us. Now, Jesus talked about this whole shining thing. Remember? What did He talk about with shining? Do you remember Matthew chapter 5, verse 16? Let your light shine before men. And as they looked, as they saw your light shining, as they saw the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you because you're connected to God, as they saw you shining, Jesus told us in that verse what we would actually be seeing. What would it look like when we shine? What do shining with the Holy Spirit's power people look like? What do they have? Let your light so shine that men may see your good works. Whoo! Whoo! Good works. Wait, Pastor. I see where you're going with this. You're talking about that works thing, aren't you? I thought it was all by grace. Uh-huh. If it ain't no batteries, there ain't no light, right? It's got to have God's power. There's nothing else that'll make it happen. But it comes out of us. The Holy Spirit's work in us is manifested because we do good works. Now, I could take those other batteries, those old batteries, I could stick them in here, couldn't I? And then I could claim I have a flashlight. I could claim I have a light. I have a switch. I screw this down tight. I have the batteries inside. I have the light. I have the light bulb. I have a connection. Would it work? Even though I had everything I needed, right? And sometimes it's like my water pack here. It's like my preparations. I'm real prepared, huh? No water and 12-year-old food, right? Yum, yum. And old batteries. How prepared am I for the second coming if the last time I did anything for anybody else that showed the love of God was in 1995? You follow where I'm going with this? It's not much different, is it really? If you think about it, it's not a whole lot different. If I'm depending on ancient batteries to give me light today, I'm in trouble, huh? And if I'm depending on an old relationship with Jesus to give me a preparation for the coming of the Lord today, I'm in trouble. And so my shining, my good works, is a product of the Holy Spirit. And what about Jesus? Remember what we said about Him? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and went about doing good. He went about doing good. You see, it was the same for Jesus. He had batteries too in His flashlight while He lived here on earth, because He saw His Father work and He worked too. Could we say Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and went about knowing the truth? Yeah, He knew the truth, didn't He? Good thing, wasn't it? Was it what was important? Was it the result of having the Holy Spirit? What did the Holy Spirit drive Him to do? Good works, right? Good works. It's no different from us. Knowing the truth, having had an experience once upon a time with the truth, is insufficient preparation. It's like having empty water packs or bad batteries or no oil. You see, the virgins did have oil once upon a time, didn't they? They filled up their lamp with it, didn't they? Woohoo! I got oil. And then they went off to do their thing and didn't bring any more oil. They were unprepared. So this doing good works, what is that? Is that keeping Sabbath? I kept the Sabbath, so I'm good. I did what I'm supposed to do. That's good work. I'm good, you know? Yeah. Kept Sabbath. I even read my Bible. Okay, it was last month, but I read my Bible. And when I thought I was going to have that car crash, I had a really fast prayer. Is that good? Does that mean I'm all right? I'm still on a first name basis with God there. Is just doing Sabbath enough? Having my name on the books of the church, is that good enough? What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 4? Again, we covered that a little bit last week. But I'm trying to connect all this week to the preparation that we need. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because He has anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to... Wait, no. He only sent me to teach the 27 fundamental beliefs, right? That's all I'm supposed to do. As long as I can get mental assent, we're golden, right? Did you catch that? Mental assent is enough, right? What did Jesus say? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I'm sorry, but let me ask you a tough question here. Can you heal the brokenhearted by teaching them what kinds of foods they can and cannot eat? Is teaching what foods can and cannot be eaten something that's good? Yeah, in fact, this morning in Sabbath school, that's exactly what we talked about, isn't it? That's something that's important. I don't neglect that. But teaching that is not going to heal the brokenhearted. Somebody who's hurting needs somebody breathing, living, sympathizing there with them, being with them in the pain of that moment. They need you, not your brain. Not at that moment. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh yeah. Liberty to the captives. Brother Wilson, have you proclaimed liberty to any captives recently? Last night. Absolutely. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Even though they might not be physically able to walk out of there, God has set them free. Absolutely. And can you do that long distance? Man, can you be outside of that prison and tell them, boy, I hope you're doing okay in there. No, you have to go there, don't you? This requires a commitment on your part. Something you have to do to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I see Jesus as he did good works, doing loving service. Out there working for people, working with people, working alongside people, helping people out where their need was right then. He didn't stay at the temple and say, y'all come and get a miracle now. Right? How can we think that we can sit in this church and tell people, y'all want to know Jesus, come here. We've got him. You know what's going to happen? They're going to say, that's cool. I'm glad you like it. I'm going over here. Because these people care. You see, doing good works is loving others. And, you know, I don't know about you, but verse 6 tells me that the crux of this parable happened at midnight. When do I need my flashlight? At noon? Do I need my flashlight right now? Not helping much, is it? Not helping much. I need my flashlight at midnight. At midnight is when I need my flashlight. And so it's going to be a dark time. And if I'm showing what the Holy Spirit is doing in me by living out Christ's life, it must mean that all around me there is a misunderstanding, a misapprehension, a distinct lack of Christ-likeness. Yes? In other words, I have to do it when it is most difficult. I have to let the light of Jesus shine when nobody else cares, nobody else wants it, nobody else appreciates it, and in fact, they're trying to stamp it out. And I'm thinking to myself, I get upset because some knucklehead pulls out in front of me on the freeway. How am I going to deal with it when they're trying to stamp out my light? When it's the darkest hour? Well, maybe what I should do then, you see, if I take my flashlight and I shine it up there, not much good. But let me tell you something. If I shine it in here, man, I can see everything. A little dust. No, there are no dust bunnies in here. I can see everything in there because it's a nice small spot, right? And the light's bright enough to shine in that small spot. So maybe what I need to do is only let my light shine when I'm right here among people that appreciate it in our nice small place. Isn't that where you need lights? Right? Huh? No, I need it out when I'm walking and I need to go somewhere and I need to do something. Yeah, I need it out there, not here so much. I need to be out there shining my light, doing loving deeds. So let me get this straight here. Let me connect the dots here for you. The midnight cry is to go out and shine, right? Midnight cry is to go out and shine. I'm not going to shine unless I'm connected, unless I have fresh batteries, unless God is working in me by His Holy Spirit. I can't do it on my own. This is not doable. I am shining, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, by doing good works. Good works is like Jesus, not just intellectually convincing people of a particular doctrinal stance, but it is doing loving service. Have I made all those connections clear? Are you ready? You're sitting down now. Here comes the next connection. Loving service that we're talking about here is preaching the three angels' messages. Huh? Wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to be, you know, get out of Babylon and stuff. Don't you know how terrible Babylon is? Get out. And I thought it was warning about not worshiping the beast. Come on. Loving service? Yeah, it's definitely warning about Babylon and beasts. But I want you to turn with me again and read it again with me. You know where it is. Do I need to tell you where it is? You know where it is, right? Revelation, right. Exactly. Come on, I'm not hearing pages turning. I want you turning. Unless you're on YouVersion there. That's cool. Then it's okay. Revelation chapter 14. See, if you're on the YouVersion live event right now, you're getting it all right there for you. You don't have to look it up. Revelation 14. Look with me. Verse 6. Are you there? Revelation 14. You with me? Thank you. Verse 6, right? Everybody reading verse 6 with me? Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the fourth lesson in amazing facts study. I use amazing facts studies, don't I? They're good things. I love them. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say in order not to get the point. Okay? Don't avoid conviction by turning it back on me. Here's the deal. It's not about doing Bible studies. Yes, they're important. I'm not talking about changing someone's intellectual position. That's important. Vital, even. But I'm talking about being like Jesus first, converting them to being Christians, people in love with God. That's what we need. People in love with God. Why are people not so worried about whether they eat this or eat that? Why do we decry things in the Adventist church like they didn't come to church on Sabbath? This or that happens in the church that ought not to be happen. Why is that? Because we are victims of Laodicea. We've grown lukewarm because we've fallen out of love with Jesus Christ. Not because we're doctrinally impure. All of the 10 virgins had the lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. They all had the Bible. It's not a question of who was doctrinally correct and who wasn't. It's who's connected to Jesus Christ. And if that isn't the everlasting gospel, I quit. Am I clear? Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, a gospel of love, a gospel of love to our God, a gospel of love to others. That is the everlasting gospel, that Jesus extended His love to us, and we, by His power, extend it to others. That's the everlasting gospel. Take a look. Verse 8, are you with me? And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What do you look like if you are not drinking the wine of Babylon? What do you look like? You look like Jesus, don't you? You look like a loving Savior. You look like someone who cares about the people you're talking to, not just trying to convert them, convince them, change their mind. You're wanting to love that person because you care about them. That's what you look like. When you preach this message, you look like Jesus. Verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the, can you catch what these words mean? The wrath of God. Can you imagine how unloving it would be for us to let them go to that? Do we love, brothers and sisters? That is being like Jesus. That's what being a Christian is. That's what letting your light shine is. That's what having the batteries, the Holy Spirit is all about. The connection there. That is what this preparation is all about. That's what God is wanting us to do, to go out and shine. The message for the end time to us is to go out and shine that midnight cry. Go out and shine. Don't stay in and shine. Go out and shine. Go out and reach others. This message that we are to give is a message of shining. Good works, not because the flashlight can do it, but because of the batteries giving us the power to go out and love. Now let me connect this circuit back to the beginning. You see, we can't preach the three angels' messages without the Holy Spirit. But you knew that already. You've heard it for years, right? You knew why. But now you understand that it's not just about changing heads. It's about changing not even just hearts. Because we don't want a bunch of emotional people just running around, "Woo, I love Jesus." That's no better than a people who just say, this is truth and I believe it because it's truth and there's nothing else and I have no choice. I don't want either one. I want all of you. I'm greedy like that. I want your head. I want your heart. I want all your body parts. I want your hand. Hey, wait, body parts. This is the body of Christ, isn't it? You see, He wants us serving Him. He wants us doing what He did. The same work of going out He did 2,000 years ago, He is calling to us to do today. But it takes the oil in the lamp. You see, the virgins that were foolish, they didn't need better lamps, did they? They had perfectly fine lamps. They had lamps that were probably virtually indistinguishable from the lamps that the wise ones had, right? Pretty much the same lamp. You and I don't need better flashlights. You see, what they needed was the power of the oil to fire them back up. Isn't that what they needed? They needed to get fired back up by that oil that was running low. It was almost gone. The old oil that they had, they needed fresh oil. And that would fire them back up to let their light shine. The same is true for you and I. We don't need better flashlights. We don't need cool new LEDs. What we need is fresh batteries. We need the power in us, the revival of the Holy Spirit in us. Do you now see the urgency of the need for revival? Because without it, it's too late. It's too late. Even when the midnight cry is given to us, it's too late, brothers and sisters. We need that now. Right now. Next week is too late. You see, heaven is just a giant battery factory looking for flashlights to put themselves into, because that's the same vision that Zechariah got only in his day. For him, it was oil flowing through the golden pipes, right? You remember? Coming into the lamp. Same thing. We need that today. So here's the deal. I don't think most of you would be here if it weren't that you didn't already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? I think that most of you have given your lives to Christ. Am I right there? If there's someone here who has not given their life to Christ, I would invite you right now to make that happen. If you need to, come right up here. Right up here, we will work with you to make that happen. If you want Christ in your life, this is the time and this is the place. We've seen the urgent need for that. In fact, why don't I have my elders that are here come up with me now? You see, I'm serious, very serious about this revival thing. Because this is the difference between a flashlight that has nasty old batteries in it or no batteries at all, and a flashlight that does some good in the world. Without the batteries, could you look at this just like this and tell me whether it was going to work or not? Uh-uh. In the same way, you can't tell from one virgin to the next whether they're ready. And so we cannot depend on what we know or who we are or what church we go to. We need to have the Holy Spirit within us. And so again, if you would like to give your life to Christ, now is the time. hope you gentlemen are praying. Because now I'm going to get a little closer to home. You see, because it's easy for us to say, Pastor, praise God. You're asking for people to give their lives to Christ. Praise God. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? I'm asking them to be a flashlight. And now I begin preaching the 10 virgins. Because you see, all 10 virgins were flashlights. They all had lamps, if you will. They had all given their lives to Christ. But some of them had done what Jesus did and allowed Himself to be sent by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what we read there in Luke chapter 4? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, right? And they allowed themselves to be opened up. If it shoots, I don't mean to. They had allowed themselves to be opened up. And the batteries, the copper tops, put in. They were all flashlights. I'm talking today to the flashlights. You. This, I knew it was going to happen. And it went to pieces. This is in your ears just now, the midnight cry. Christ is coming again. Amen. There's one more piece over there. Christ is coming again. Let me say it again. Because, man, it's just, we don't get it. We're asleep. And to get awake, we got to hear that alarm go many times sometimes. Because they all slumbered and slept. Not just the foolish ones. We're not talking about good virgins versus bad ones. Sleeping versus not sleeping. Right versus wrong. We're talking about everybody here. The message is to all of us. That we have to wake up. We have to have revival. All of us. We are the flashlights, yes, but every day we need new batteries. We need Jesus to come into us by the Holy Spirit. And so now's when I get picky. Are you ready? I know that most of you have given your life to Christ and you're good-looking flashlights. Now I want you to open up. Open up to the Holy Spirit. Let God have His power in your life. Man, that's scary though. That's scary, Pastor, because I've never had a whole lot of power and I'm not sure what I'd do if He asked me to do a miracle. What would I do? What would I do if I was up on that bridge and He told me to make this guy get up and walk? What would I do? I'm not sure I can handle that kind of power flowing through me. I prefer to be in control. This is letting go of control. This is giving God the power in your life. And so I'm going to ask you right now, as seriously as we take people coming to Jesus the first time, we must take receiving the Holy Spirit into our lives just as seriously. This cannot be anything less. Our greatest, on your book, y'all have your book. Our greatest, a revival of true godliness among us, a revival, the Holy Spirit in us, of true godliness, a revival of the true godliness among us is our greatest and most urgent need. Most urgent. And so I'm calling you to come forth just now if you want to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to touch you and you're going to and fall back. Nothing like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not looking for any flash or show. This is not like that. This is you and God together. And maybe you did it yesterday. Maybe you did it the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. Maybe you did it this morning. But let's in public together. Gentlemen, are you with me? Are you here because you want to receive the Holy Spirit? Amen. Amen. And so I'm calling those of you, too, who would like to renew that commitment to come forward just now. Because it is our greatest and most urgent need to be revived again, to have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. That's our greatest and most urgent need.